Welcome to the Regeneration Ministries podcast. This is Josh Glazer. I'm the executive director of Regeneration Ministries. We know being a human being can be beautiful and it can also be messy, where this combination of physical, emotional, sexual, relational, and spiritual. Jesus knows this too. So each week in this podcast, we address topics to help you become more whole, more the men and women that God designed you to be.
I think it's interesting that when I think about my life and, you know, I can sit back and I can look at it and even experience it as this is a good life. I have good friends. I have a good marriage. I have a good relationship with my kids. And I'm grateful. And also, sometimes I'm lonely. And I don't always know what to do with that. Where's that coming from? What's that about?
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back, listeners. Kit Elmer, Josh Glazer talking today. We wanted to talk about a couple of things. We actually sat down and we said, we want to talk about intimacy because people we work with here in our own lives, we certainly recognize there's a lot of confusion about what intimacy is, what it's about, what it's for, where we get it, do we need it? And I think as we're honest about our longing for intimacy, Kit, what you just shared rings true for a lot of people, the sense of the depth of my longing, the strength of my longing is not always met, isn't met in all the ways I want. It's a confounding, difficult thing. When we started doing this podcast over a year ago now, one of our first episodes was, our very first episode, I think, was intimacy is the starting and ending point. We were basically saying, this is what we're about as human beings. Mm-hmm. Every single person on the planet begins because of an intimate act between a man and a woman. However good that intimacy was, that's where our beginning is. Going back even further than that, to Genesis, Genesis 1, God declares in day 6, he says, let us create mankind in our image, male and female, he created them. We are created from God's intimacy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How all that works is a mystery, but nonetheless, that's our starting point. And when we look forward to where we're headed and what we long for, whether in this life, longing for good friends, a marriage maybe, somebody who knows me, loves me, et cetera, or even beyond this life to the next life when we see Jesus face to face and we come home finally, we're longing for intimacy. It's the starting and ending point. So it's fitting a year later that we'd come back to this. But let's talk about it in a way that really kind of, you know, puts our feet on the ground and where do we get mixed up about intimacy and what does it mean and doesn't it mean? So Kit, this was your idea to talk about it. What are some of the problems or the struggles with intimacy that we wanted to get after?
Well, one of the things that we were talking about that was really interesting before we started recording was this idea of what does intimacy mean? And I said, gosh, I think it's really... I don't think about it apart really from some kind of sexual interaction. And of course, that's not what it means.
Like the word itself.
Yeah, intimacy. The word itself. Yeah. You know, like we were intimate. That means we made love, we had sex. And yet that's not what the word means. And right. So I think our culture has, and I don't think I'm alone in that. Maybe some people think of it differently. But I think a lot of us think of it that way. And so it's kind of been reduced to this. It has to look like this for us to have intimacy. And I really think that's unfortunate because we can have intimacy in so many different ways in different relationships. And that's one of the things we were talking about too. You know, there's emotional intimacy, intellectual intimacy, physical, spiritual, recreational, and sexual. And those things, you know, all of those things are ways to be intimate with each other. So it'd be good, I think, it was good for me to kind of think about that in context of my marriage, in friendships. So it's just good to talk about that. What does that mean? Yeah. How do we live in that fullness, intimacy with God? What does that mean? How does that affect our relationships?
Yeah. One thing that comes to mind as you're talking is that reality that I think for a lot of us who have wrestled with sexual issues, sexual sins, sexual compulsivity, there's an avenue where we can approach those things. It's not just about cutting something out. You know, it's not about stopping something. It is about fostering something bigger, something different, something healthier. And I think when we begin to have a larger context for what intimacy is, it opens some doors for us to say, you know what, right now, it's not really sex that I'm after as much as a real connection with another human being who knows me and cares about me. Where can I get that? Where can I pursue that? Certainly, you know, whether it's, I mean, we're talking about married or single here, but I think, you know, within marriage, if there's confusion about that, then one spouse can always be kind of pursuing sex, and when what they're really after is an emotional connection or relational connection. And then as a single person, I think a single can, who's feeling sexual temptation, can know that they're, what can I do about this temptation aside from just run away from the temptation? Yeah. Well, I can actually pick up the phone and try to get together with a good friend. And
I think that's such a good point. You know, we've talked a lot about this idea of how we're raised, how we're formed as children, things that we come to believe, or as, you know, middle schoolers, high schoolers, young adults. And so I think you had your finger on the pulse of something for me that I really, my searching for intimacy for a lot of my life was not about sex, even though it actually unfortunately acted out that way inappropriately. But what I was really looking for was all the rest. So, you know, I think if we're kind of saturated in our culture with this idea that intimacy is sex, and that's going to be something around that kind of love and sex is going to give you what you need, then you miss out on all these other things.
Yeah.
And so in my marriage now, you know, we talk about that now, but you know what? That's been 32, 33 years into it. You know, we're even now unpacking, like, well, how do we spend time emotionally connecting, intellectually connecting? Let's read a book together. Let's talk about it. Let's actually explore. You know, my husband is really honest with about the fact that it's hard, a little bit harder for him to get in touch with emotions, and he wants to work on that. And so, like, you know, how do we expand this intimacy idea all of our relationships so we're not missing out?
So I can hear some of our listeners pushing back on the things we're saying and going like, all right, all well and good for you. You're both married. So even if you can pursue these other kinds of intimacy, you can still have sex, you know?
That's right. But
I'm single, or I've never been married, or I'm divorced, or what, you know, whatever the situation is. My wife and I can't have sex, or my husband and I can't have sex right now. And so I'm just longing for that kind of touch. And let me just say out loud, like the longing for touch, the ache that we feel in our bodies for touch or to be held, is a good longing. The desire for sexual intimacy is a really good, godly desire. So we're not trying to push that aside and say, you know, oh yeah, you can get that completely fulfilled in different ways. We are saying that these overlap, these different kinds of intimacy. Intimacy in general is a larger category than just sex.
And I think it's so important to acknowledge that. You know, I really appreciate you say that, because I'm not single, and I haven't been single for a long time, and I want to understand and think about and care about that longing that single people have. And I also know, unfortunately, a lot of married people are not satisfied.
Right.
Like, whatever is happening physically or sexually in their marriage is sometimes unsatisfying, or maybe even really, really destructive.
Right.
So, you know, it's a delicate issue and one that can elude us in many different ways.
Well, I think there you put your finger on something else, which is there's the form of intimacy in its many different, you know, versions. Like, it's a form of intimacy to share with another person what I'm feeling. It's a form of intimacy to have to physically have sex with another person. It's a form of intimacy to hold hands. But those forms do not equate with intimacy. They themselves are not intimacy. They're the form of it. Mm. For two people to hold hands, you can see, you know, two people walking down the street holding hands, where the one is, you know, grabbing the other person's hand and dragging them along. Well, that's a form, but that's not intimacy that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And we know the difference. It's, you know, there's a difference. And I think within marriage, within a sexual relationship in marriage, there can be the form, the physical act of sex, without true sexual intimacy.
Yeah, and probably more than we would believe. It eludes us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the definitions I heard for intimacy years ago is intimacy is into me, you see.
Yeah.
And the undercurrent of that, or the spirit of that, is not just do you see me there, but you honor what you see. You like what you see. You value, you hold in esteem what you see.
Yeah.
And so, you know, seeing another person's naked body, again, that's a form, the form of intimacy, the outward kind of expression, but to really see, honor, value, That's the intimacy we're talking about. And the same with, you know, I think you and I both know the people sometimes, and I've been the guilty party in this sometimes where I'm sharing emotions with somebody and it's not an intimate moment. It's not an intimate situation. Mm. There's not the trust and the honor that's there. Sometimes where I've shared things with people and I walk away and I go, why? They don't know me. I don't, you know, that's not a person I trust with that information. I wish I hadn't shared it. Or vice versa, with somebody I don't know real well, you know, not in a setting like regeneration, but maybe just off the street, you know, sharing something. I think, oh, you know, that's not the place for that. So, yeah, intimacy is this delicate thing. And that, go ahead.
I think we have expectations too, you know, that, and we've talked about this some before, but, you know, because we grow up with all these songs and all these movies and, you know, whatever, you know, we're looking to have all these things look a certain way. And we think that we're going to get them. And when we don't, then we're disappointed. There's something wrong with my life. There's something wrong with me. And in reality, you know, the things that we look to, like, it's good and fine to hope and want intimacy with friends and spouses. But usually we're looking for way too much.
Yeah.
You know, usually we're putting so much pressure on the relationship and, you know, that deep sense of I'm loved and I'm okay and I'm seen and honored has to come from God, or we will always be asking people to do more than they could ever do for us.
Right. And when we get into that place, that we're in dangerous territory.
Yes.
For a lot of reasons. Yep. I think, so let's just name it this way. That desire, so intimacy is into me you see, and I mean that in a really positive way. So that desire to be seen and honored, valued, loved as we're seen, to be truly seen, naked and unashamed, that's a good God-given desire. Mm. And when that goes sideways, or when we direct that desire to this person in the wrong context, or to this group of people, or to this person too soon, or to be fulfilled completely in this person or in these people. Mm-hmm. Then what we've done is we've taken that desire, which is a good God-given desire, and we've misplaced it. We've aimed it in the wrong direction or in the wrong place. And what happens there, I think, then we're either set up for disappointment, and that's kind of best case scenario, or we end up using other people for the sense of intimacy but it's really a false intimacy that they can give us. And I think that even when Jesus talks about the shepherds feeding off the sheep, I think in some ways that one of the situations that can happen is where a leader who is longing to be seen and loved has a platform and is accumulating followers, but really what they're after is, I just really need to be close to somebody. And they end up kind of using their platform to try to meet that need. And what we're getting at here is that ultimately, and this is going to sound so Christian cliche, so we're going to unpack it a little bit because we want to be real about this. Ultimately, our desire for intimacy has to begin and end with God himself.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, that first podcast way back when, and reminded us at this time that, you know, intimacy is the beginning and ending point. And it really, it doesn't, you know, the genesis of every person is that intimate act of a mom and a dad. The reality is that mom and that dad on their own, apart from God, cannot produce life. We are knit together in our mother's wombs by God. I mean, it's his design. He's the one who knew us and planned for us before the foundation of the earth.
Yeah.
And what we're really longing for is intimacy, that intimate union with him.
Yeah.
All right. So bring that back down to earth because, you know, great. I've heard that a million times. I go to church every Sunday.
What does that mean?
You know,
what does that mean?
Still lonely as heck. Yeah.
Yeah. And when people say, okay, all right, I'm open. All right, God, you know, I'm open, you know, let me have that intimacy with you. What is that? How do I do that? I'm not feeling it. I'm asking for it, not feeling it.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you do with that, kid?
What do you do with that?
No, I'm asking you. So that's the end of the podcast, everybody. We really don't know what you do with that. You know, I don't have an easy cleaned up answer.
Here's the answer. Yeah. But it is a great question.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to be aware of and to ask about in your own life and in your own relationship with
God. So I want to share two things. One's a story, just to be honest, and one is a kind of an anecdote or an idea about this that I've got from Christopher West. The story is this. I've been going through a very dry time spiritually. Life has been very busy, good stuff happening, but just a dry spiritual season. And I have found myself over the last several years, many times in my prayer life, hitting times where I'm like, Lord, I miss you. I miss you. And then I have a time of connection with him and I feel renewed and revigorated and upswing. And then I'm like, oh Lord, where, you know, just a lot of that in these last several years for me. And recently I went on a run. I haven't been running, especially not in the woods. And I went for a run in the woods and I had some worship music playing in my headphones. And it was such an intimate time with God. It was so, so good. And when I got back, the song that was playing when I got back was this beautiful worship song. I think it's a Bethel song. And there's a line in it that says, you didn't have to come, or you don't have to come, but you always do. And it's that kind of call out to God. And it's just, and then the line switches to, you don't have to come, but you wanted to. And I was singing it from my heart and I'd felt God's presence. It was just so sweet and wonderful.
Yeah.
I was like, thank you, Lord, for this.
Yeah.
And this morning, I'm getting out of bed, I'm leaving the house, and I'm like, what was that song? What was I feeling? What was happening then? Like, it felt so distant.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And it does. And that's life. And so I think one of the things that's really important for me is that I know that if I expect I'm going to have like moment after moment after moment like that with God every day, all day long, I'm going to be disappointed. It is a mixed bag. There are going to be times when we're going to be close to God, and there's going to be times when we feel like we're not. Life is busy or hard or sad. And so for me, it's really helpful to be like, okay, well, here's that was really beautiful. And then the next day, if I don't feel it, okay, this is one of those moments when I'm not going to feel it. And then I'm not quite so devastated, like, oh, something's wrong. You know, there are going to be times of closeness. That's true of friendships, marriage, everything. And with God, it's true too. And we don't give up.
Right. And that's where that's the crux in my mind. Like, I think if we experience those downtimes or those distant times or those times that don't, where our feelings don't, you know, we don't feel close, we don't feel intimate, whether it's in a marriage or a friendship or a mentor relationship or our relationship with God, we don't feel that. If at that point we say, it's not worth it, it doesn't happen, it's all fake, it's a ruse, then we end up in this territory of making agreements about God's closeness or distance or faithfulness. And then I think what we can tend to do in defensive posture is to kind of close up that desire for intimacy.
Yes.
And that's a mistake.
And get angry and disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if God's, you know, if it feels like this sometimes, then I'm just not even going to go there. I'm going to assume that God doesn't want this.
Yeah.
It's a mistake for two reasons. One, because we need him.
Yeah.
We need intimacy with God and we need intimacy with others.
Yeah.
Secondly, and I believe this wholeheartedly, he wants intimacy with us. Listener, with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so in any way that you close yourself off from intimacy with him, or I close myself off from intimacy with him because it just gets tough sometimes, he feels the longing. He wants to be close to us. That doesn't mean that God needs us in some kind of, you know, he'll cease to exist without us. But, you know, in Hosea, God describes longing for his people like a mother whose breasts are longing to nurse their baby. And any mom who's gone a long time between nursing the baby, it's a painful longing. Now, why did God use that illustration?
Yeah. That's very intimate.
To give a very intimate illustration of, you guys, you know you can't understand this for me, but what I'm trying to communicate to you in a way that you do understand is I long for you. And that gives me hope. So the Christopher West idea here, and it's not original to him, but I learned it from him, is the idea of taking that ache, that longing for intimacy, whether it's a longing for sexual intimacy with another person, whether it's a longing for intimacy with God, whether it's a longing for emotional intimacy or a relational intimacy, taking that ache and turning that into a prayer, kind of even acknowledging or recognizing that the ache itself, if we'll let it be, is a prayer. Mm-hmm. It is our flesh crying out for you, the living God, to put it in David's words, or it's our heart crying out for you, the living God. Mm-hmm. I think what that helps me to do is to redirect disappointment with other people or you know, the longing for this or that kind of intimacy in this moment, and direct it to the one who has made all of those things. And it keeps me kind of rightly postured to other people and to God. And I think it also keeps that kind of hopeful expectation or anticipation that he is coming, you know, he come, Lord Jesus, come. Your bride says, come. And
what I like about that, too, is that's a very honest, uncomplicated response to a very deep need. And I think sometimes when we grow up in the church, well-intentioned, we think, well, I need to memorize the scripture. I need to read my Bible more. Or I need to, you know, there's all this sense of burden and stress about I'm not being a good enough Christian. I'm not doing the things I should do. And I hear that in my own life, and I hear that all the time from people.
And that's the form. Those are good things. It's the form of intimacy. But if done from that posture of like, I gotta.
It's
not the real intimacy, yeah.
And I think that's what we fall into a lot of the time. And then, of course, we're disappointed because it doesn't work. And so just the invitation to people who are listening, like, have a sense of freedom about what this looks like to connect with God. Like, what do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing? Bring God into it. Sit outside. And just have some quiet, or sit in a room that you really enjoy being in, and invite God into it in whatever way that looks like. Water your flowers, garden. I don't know. I'm trying to think of all kinds of things that people like to do that are different than what I like to do, and just invite God into it. Because I think sometimes when we do the other prescriptive stuff, it really aggravates it.
Yeah, it can. Yeah. And I think that we began by, one of the things we started by saying was that there are so many different kinds of intimacy.
Yeah.
And I think, so if we think about all of creation, all that God has made, mm-hmm. you know, the water, the seas, the mountains, the deserts, the, mm-hmm. The flowers, the huge, massive icebergs, and the tiny, tiny little insects with intricate designs on their wings, like the spectrum of those things, I think, are all his invitations to, almost infinite means of connecting with him, because he so desires and longs for intimacy with us. So why don't I close this with this, and I'm not going to try to wrap this up in a neat bow, but I'm going to pray really authentically from my own heart about longing for God.
Great.
And I just invite you listeners and you, Kit, let's just pray along and invite him. So Lord, I want to simply pray that way. God, so listeners, wherever you might be longing for intimacy right now, whether you're most aware of it or it's most acute in relation to another person or a specific aspect of intimacy, relational, sexual, emotional, intellectual, et cetera, wherever you're most aware of your kind of that acute desire, longing, need for intimacy, why don't you just be there in that moment? So Lord, for me, I feel that, Lord, and you know where I feel it. And I just want to take that ache, Lord, that longing, that need, that desire, it's a yell inside of me, Lord. Lord, I don't shut it down. I want to open that up and turn it to you as a prayer. My flesh, my heart, my mind cries out for you, the living God. Enter into that place, Lord, those places. And we ask these things, Lord, with hope, looking to you and you alone. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this episode has been helpful to you. Listen, if you find these podcasts beneficial, please join our listening community and our larger ministry work in one of two ways. First, would you leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts? Doing so actually helps bring this content to more people like you who can benefit. And second, would you become a financial partner of the ministry by donating either one time or on a monthly basis? You can find out how to do so at regenerationministries.org/donate. Thank you so much again for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week.